Practice number 8, connecting with others. Besides enabling our disconnection from nature, modern life has allowed us to be increasingly disconnected from other humans. We are busier and more independent. There's less intergenerational contact than ever. Online communities have allowed us to abandon our local communities, and high-profile cases of sexual abuse and harassment have made us paranoid about affection. It's a major loss of primary sources of social structure and sweetness.
Structure, sweetness, and space of connection. Connecting with others is like gathering around a fire on a chilly night. We smile more in the sweet warmth that's kindled through our interaction. Our life structure is bolstered by the support of others, both material support and the internal support that develops through the exchange of ideas. And when we get out of our heads and really feel what's happening in community, we perceive the space between and around us that we're co-creating, where the magic of our synergy arises.
University of Chicago psychologist John Cacioppo has written that our need for social connection is tied to our most primal urge to survive. Our brains even feature neurological circuitry specifically for processing social cues. We are pack animals. Yet research shows that over the past few decades, Americans have reported having fewer intimate friends, fewer people with whom they can discuss important matters, and a greater sense of isolation and loneliness. Many people are embarrassed about admitting their loneliness, which Cacioppo says is a feeling more similar to hunger, thirst, or pain than to mental illness. Lack of community also makes us more prone to form addictions and more susceptible to disease. The solution is to let people into your life. Look for opportunities to meet like-minded folks. Although the internet has in many ways made us more isolated, it has also spawned some great real-life get-together tools like Meetup. Find ways to serve your community, to help someone, and to build friendships. We'll explain more about community building later in this book. Beyond casual social contact, there's also a special therapeutic value to giving and receiving touch. This includes both platonic forms, such as massage and partner dancing, and intimate forms, including sex. Safe touch is good for the soul. How touch impacts us at various ages. Sadly, many people are not altogether at ease with touch. Nearly everyone goes through 3 difficult transitions that involve a withdrawal of loving touch. Within the womb, we're perpetually embraced by our mother's body. We're always held and we're never alone. All our needs are met. It's a state of perfection. The birth process is the first withdrawal of touch, and though we don't consciously remember it, it's the initial trauma of our lives. Luckily, most of us continue to receive lots of physical affection after birth. We're kept close against our parents' bodies, we nurse from our mother, and family members and friends want to pick us up and touch our soft skin. We are properly adored. But within a year or two, the second process of withdrawal begins. Our parents need to get better sleep, and they have work to do, and this requires putting us down more and moving us into our own bed. We're left alone for increasingly longer periods, but we don't have the language or competence to understand why contact is decreasing. Around the time that we enter school, our parents are likely to start warning us of inappropriate touch and bad people, who may act friendly but actually wish to harm us. We learn that humans can be predatory, and touch can be invasive. We're also increasingly in the company of other children who are as new to this as we are. There's a push-pull dynamic whereby we're encouraged to join and submit to the will of the tribe while simultaneously experiencing hostility from other tribe members. In our teenage years, the third degradation of innocent affection occurs as touch takes on new meaning. More than ever, it's premeditated and it's a communication. As we learn about sex, nearly every touch initiates a question in our mind. What does this mean? This coincides with a growing peer pressure to always know what everything means. Teenhood is, after all, the I know everything time of life. We're reluctant to ask and scared to misinterpret, so we may endure or inflict unpleasant or unwanted touch. Meanwhile, we're bombarded with a tremendous array of mixed signals, from the constraint imposed by religious groups to the abusive touch perpetrated by their own representatives, from the hypersexualization of our media to the media's own hypervigilance for sexual behavior that it can condemn as scandalous. If you had excellent guidance through your developmental years, you may have made it to adulthood completely unrestrained about giving and receiving platonic physical affection, with very clear boundaries between platonic and sexual touch, and with the confidence to communicate whenever necessary to ensure that both parties are happy with the exchange. But if you're like the 99% of the world that turned out somewhat less healthy and clear about touch, it's time to let yourself off the hook. Recognize that you've been through the unfortunate process just described, and give yourself credit for being even remotely functional in this arena. Inviting healthy touch into your life. If you've had difficulty with giving and receiving healthy touch, we encourage you to begin the process of healing from the past. We tend to think of women as being most in need of this work due to their higher likelihood of having been on the receiving end of bumbling and possibly abusive sexual contact, but men have a greater tendency to become emotionally shut down, so this work is also for any guy who can't share a hug with another man without inserting a handshake between your two bodies. Obviously, if you've experienced severe physical or sexual abuse, this is a process worth navigating with a professional. But for all those with the garden variety of weird touch experiences, remember, there's abundant opportunity for safe touch. Though your mind may be scathed by your programming and experiences, your soul yearns for it. It may feel contrived and somewhat uncomfortable at first, but over time you will relax into it. You'll be less conscious of every touch as it becomes more natural, and you'll return to your native state of comfort and enjoyment with touch. The next time you're speaking with a friend, put a hand on their shoulder, take a breath, and release. Whew. These 8 health maintenance practices aren't all-encompassing, but if you take care of yourself in these ways, you'll find it easier to navigate whatever challenges come along. Plus, you'll feel vibrant and relaxed in your mind and body, which will spill over into all parts of your life.